You're listening to Radio Influence.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome back to In the Trenches. It is not a victory Monday. We are not crying in our Cheerios over a loss either. Yesterday, I spent watching others play football other than our Buccaneers, and it wasn't bad, but I miss watching my Buccaneers and being glued to my team on the television. So I got a chance to really absorb a lot of the other things going on in the NFL and see how the Bucs compare to some of these other teams and in ways that compare. In other ways, we're a long way away from being where we need to be. The Bucs are not a great looking 2-2 team, but we're going to Atlanta, and that Atlanta team is ripe to get beat. Yesterday, they got mollywopped by the Steelers, who are not that great of a football team, and they pretty much wrecked. They got wrecked by the Falcons, by the Steelers. And once again, the Steelers are a team that doesn't have Le'Veon Bell. They got issues in their locker room, and all of a sudden they got right playing against the Falcons. Now, you know, we're not exactly good enough to be pointing fingers at anybody saying that they have shortcomings, because defensively, you know, the Falcons are 28th in defense, which is horrible, obviously. But, you know, our beloved Buccaneers are 31st in defense. So we're not stopping anybody. We haven't stopped anybody yet this year, even a little bit. That Falcon team, even though they're 1-4 and they're limping, you know, they're thinking about coming back home and figuring out ways to get a victory and to start figuring out ways to get back to 500. The Buccaneers, with the past, you don't want to go 2-3. This is not a team that understands how to win yet. The Falcons know how to win. They have a bunch of players in their team that have won before. They know what it takes. The Bucs got to get it to that next level. Go 2-3, Bucs ain't going nowhere. Tell them, that's just the way it goes, unfortunately. To go 2-3, now every week becomes crucial. And every week's crucial anyways for the NFL. But looking around the league yesterday, I was kind of pinpointing some different things. First of all, I never watched so many different games before. I was trying to watch as many different teams, and I was amazed to see two names out there. I can't believe Julius Peppers is still playing. I don't know if I didn't play against Julius Peppers. He's got to be old as Methuselah. I mean, I don't know what year he is. It's got to be 18. But Julius Peppers is still playing, and he's still effective. Amazing athlete. And Antonio Gates is still playing. Wasn't Antonio Gates injured like 7 years ago or something? I mean, these are two Hall of Fame players we're talking about, and they're getting towards the end of their career, and they're still extremely, extremely effective. Okay, this is going to be Julius Peppers. What year did it say that from? 2002, so my Lord. So he's into his 17th year. Right. 17th year for a defensive end. It is unheard of. And Antonio Gates has been amazing for a long time, and it's things that happen in San Diego seem to happen so far away that it seems real foreign. But he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, as will Julius Peppers. But you know, looking around in the NFL, the one thing that was it's glaring. You can't play defense anymore. I'm not sure if the NFL really wants that, but that's what they got. The NFL has a league where it's you cannot play defense anymore. 10 of the 32 quarterbacks in the NFL right now, 10 are on pace to break their team's all-time passing record. That's not a coincidence. 10 out of 32, that means forever. Like the Steelers and the Kansas City Chiefs and the Eagles, those teams have been around for a long time. We're talking about ever. And there's players, you know, 3,000 yards used to be a big deal. Then 4,000. Now there's guys on pace for 5,000 and close to 6,000 yards passing. That's crazy. Our Buccaneers, who really have a quarterback situation, we're throwing for 363 yards a game. There's not that many games in the past years that the Bucs have thrown for 363 yards, more or less average that, you know, four weeks into the season. So we'll see if that continues. I would rather it not continue personally, because passing the ball is great, but look how many quarterbacks are losing and passing with 350 yards. Throwing the ball 45, 50 times is just a bad equation for success. It really is. I don't see any defense out there. And to me, if you can rush the ball and you can rush the passer, that's the way to do it. Just depending on big plays all game long, it runs out eventually. And the Buccaneers, although they're passing for ridiculous amounts of yards, they are 30th in rushing. They can't rush the ball. So when you depend on 363 yards passing, bad things happen. Sacks happen, fumbles happen, interceptions happen. But if you're up the top in rushing, boy, you're minimizing the amount of mistakes that you're going to make. You want to run the ball 30 times a game. If you can run the ball 30 times a game, you win 90% of the time. That's off the top of my head. I'm just telling you. If you're able to run the ball 30 times a game, normally things turn out well. But the Falcons are 1-4. They're reeling. They still have Matt Ryan. They still have Julio Jones. They still have Sanu. They got a slew of running backs that are a little bit beat up. Freeman came back. They got Tevin Coleman from Indiana, who is pretty darn good backup. He's got some wheels on him. They're still the Atlanta Falcons. So we're playing pretty good defensively. So that's got to scare the Buccaneers a little bit. Now, looking around the league, I was watching a little bit of that Raiders game, and Raider fans has got to be sick to their stomach to wait this long. Because to wait this long for good old Chucky to come back, and Chucky ain't doing nothing but scowling, he is going to ruin Carr. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's happened before. He's just not good with young players. You know, Carr's not that young. You know, John Gruden doesn't do well with people in general. Okay, I'm just telling you. And that's going to turn out poorly. And I predicted that way, way back when. So the future of that team is in his hands. And I think he's going to demolish the whole thing. I know some Raider fans, and I ask them how they feel about it. And they felt great to start with, and they don't anymore. They don't. You don't trade away Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack is the equivalent of 3 wins. I don't give a crap how many first rounders you got. You don't trade Khalil Mack, period. There's a couple of players out there in the NFL fields that make a difference. Odell Beckham is one of them. Odell Beckham is one of the more talented receivers the NFL has ever seen. Okay, he's that talented. Do I want him as a teammate? Not quite sure. He's never really done anything to succeed. He's one of those guys where if you're a leader, well, what have you led? All he cares about is that he gets the ball thrown to him. I don't know if winning is the most important thing. But, you know, you're out there criticizing your QB and you're criticizing your coaching staff. That's not helping anybody out, man. You got to come back to the complex on Monday, and it's about brotherhood again. And when you're pointing fingers, you're saying, it's not me, it's everybody else. That's not leadership. That's not leadership in my world anyways. Now, there's a couple quarterbacks that I thought were going to struggle this year. One of them was Eli Manning, and he's playing okay, because they score a lot of points. I wouldn't want him as my quarterback because I just think he's made of tissue paper at this point. Deshaun Watson, I didn't think was going to play well this year because of his surgically repaired knee, and you got to sit in the pocket a little bit. He's not going to finish the season, okay, because I watched a little bit of that game. He took 4 or 5 big-time hits, and I just finished talking about the Mannings. Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, their daddy taught them to get the hell down, okay? If you're Jimmy Garoppolo and you're in the third game of the season and you're thinking about getting a first down in the second quarter of the game and you're going to plant off your left knee and try to cut back into the grain, you won't finish the season. That's what happened. You know what Peyton Manning did? He slid 15 yards ago, and he'll punt the ball. But Deshaun Watson, bro, it's the fourth or fifth week of the season. You don't need to run over anybody. Like, I remember John Elway running over somebody in the Super Bowl, but that's his Super Bowl. There's no more games after that. Other than that, you have to take care of yourself. We saw RG3 get knocked out of the, his career got knocked out pretty much. I haven't seen RG3 play in forever. Deshaun Watson won't finish the season doing what I saw him doing yesterday. He got clobbered a couple times. It's just, it's not a smart thing. Guys, you know, most of us are not real good with our health. Guys are a lot worse than women. We hate doctors. We hate getting going to see the doctor. And especially it is true when you talk about erectile dysfunction. It's something that's a little bit embarrassing, and nobody wants to deal with that. You don't want to talk about that face-to-face with any doctor. Thankfully, Roman has created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor, and you really get treated for the ED online, so you don't have to see them face-to-face. It's a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medications right to your door. So you go online, you talk to them, you find out your situation, and it gets sent right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. We don't like that. So you can handle everything discreetly online, and all you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/trenches. That's GetRoman.com/trenches. Fill out the brief medical onboarding, chat with the doctor, and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door discreetly in an unmarked package. It's real, real easy. So once again, for a free online visit, go to Roman.com/trenches. That's Roman.com/trenches for a free online visit. It's easy, it's indiscreet, and you don't have to talk to them face-to-face. It makes it a lot easier. So you got to take advantage of that. The Chiefs are 5-0. And Mahomes, I'm not one to gas somebody up before their time. He's pretty damn legit. I mean, it's deep enough into the season where it doesn't matter if he's front running or coming from behind. The kid has got ice, you know? Kid's got ice in his veins. He's got a little something special. Keep yourself healthy. That's important. Because, you know, that's that one knee away from being a totally different player. But as of right now, he's about as athletic as I've seen anybody in that position. And he's making the right decisions. He's got some pretty good talent around him. And Andy Reid, for me, is one of the better play callers in the league. And he's play calling people open. And Mahomes is finding them. So right now, the Chiefs seem like that team to beat. A team reeling is the Dallas Cowboys, who had 83 points in the first five games of the season. Now, when you get rid of Jason Witten and Dez Bryant's gone, and I don't really know what the receivers' names are. I don't know what a tight end's name is. They usually have a good offensive line. We know they have Zeke Elliott. But, you know, without a passing game, they'll just put eight guys in the box. It'll make you throw the ball. And Dak Prescott has never been that guy to really slay defense. He's really not. Dak Prescott is that guy who likes to run the ball for 150 yards at the running back position and then throw for 250, something like that. Limit the throws. And that's usually the equation for most people to succeed in the NFL. So all you Dallas Cowboy fans, yeah, y'all in trouble. Y'all in trouble. You need to wait till the offseason to maybe you can pick up a couple of wide receivers in free agency. Because Dallas is a very appealing place to play still. But they don't have enough talent there right now. It ain't going to work this year. Now, how would you like to be Mason Crosby, who misses four field goals at an extra point? And when you step into the locker room today, you know what happens when you are that kicker or you're in that situation. When you come in on Monday, usually there's a bunch of kickers on the field practicing. That's what happens. You can't miss four field goals in a game and don't think that they're going to start, you know, at least trying some people out to see who's out there. Because he had the yips yesterday, and he couldn't find it. And mentally, that can be a problem. I mean, people's careers end abruptly. Martin Gramatica is a guy comes into mind who couldn't miss. All of a sudden, physically, something changed, and all of a sudden, he couldn't make a field goal. Then he disappears. So he's been around a while. He looks like he's a little weathered. But missing four field goals at an extra point, I know Aaron Rodgers came over there and put his arm around him, but the organization is not going to allow him to continue to do that. Okay. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles have failed to score 24 points five straight weeks. And I was laughing and I go, God, I thought they were better than that. And then they said, well, they haven't done that since 1998. then I was starting counting on my hand. And I go, dang, I was there in 1998. So we sucked. That was just, we just, John Gruden had just gone to Oakland, and I think we had Dana Bible as our offensive coordinator, and it was a cluster, okay? So the Philadelphia Eagles, coming off a Super Bowl, 2-3, they're limping, okay? That's the way it happens every time. Every rule, there's an exception, and the exception is usually New England Patriots, okay? Most teams coming off a Super Bowl victory or even being in a Super Bowl usually struggle the next year. They don't quite have the same edge, and the Eagles don't have the same edge. They lost some players as well. They lost some players as well. But there's nobody's really balling over there. New York Giants lost three straight games where they scored 30 points. So Eli Manning, I'm not a fan of his anymore, but they're putting up some points. But then they can't play any defense behind it. So there's not a lot of complete football teams out there. There's going to be a funky team win the Super Bowl this year. The Eagles were a little funky last year. Like, nobody, I don't believe at the beginning of the year last year anybody was picking the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl. I wasn't. And all of a sudden they just surfaced and with a backup quarterback got that done. But there's a lot of teams that have flaws everywhere. A team that doesn't have a flaw, and I was talking about Kansas City being the front runner, put the Rams in that category as well, because Gurley is just, if he stays healthy, and none of them do anymore, he has a different look to him. He reminds me a little bit of Eric Dickerson, the way he flows, the way he runs. Since last season, he has 20 touchdowns. And I think that's 7 more than anybody else in the league. That's some serious business, okay? So Gurley's for real. Goff is for real. They got good football players everywhere. And when I watch their defense, I'm watching Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald wrecking shop, okay? You can have McCoy. I'll take either one of those cats, either one of them. They are wrecking shop and kicking ass, and that's the way I like it. So that Rams team is going to be dealt with, that's for sure. That I'd like to stay away from that Rams team right now, because they're definitely flying high. And I like their young coach as well. And a coach on the other end of the spectrum in the Cincinnati Bengals are playing well. That's another name. Okay, I saw Julius Peppers and Antonio Gates, and Marvin Lewis is still coaching the Bengals? Real? I mean, he's been on the fence since ever? Seriously, I mean, he's been there forever. If you remember, Marvin Lewis was on his way to Tampa Bay. He was on his way to Tampa Bay, had his coaching staff all picked out already. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers said, no, 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 we're good. And Marvin Lewis is still over there in Cincinnati. I can't believe it. And they're looking good again. All right, if anybody ever wants to email me and ask me any questions, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. I have Harold Seaman right here that asked me a question, basically saying that he doesn't think Quan Alexander's playing all that well, doesn't take good angles. And, you know, something's up with Quan. I don't know if it's a physical thing. Quan is an aggressive football player, but you have to throttle it down sometimes. Sometimes you could be overly aggressive at times. The great players knew how to turn it up, knew how to turn it down a little bit. To me, Quan sometimes plays a little bit out of control. And I don't want to restrict him because I love his attitude. Sometimes his angles aren't the best, but he can make up with it for most part with his speed. I wouldn't blame the majority of what's happening defensively on our linebackers, but I got some news for you. Our linebackers have never been really great in coverage. Lavonte David, you know, he goes to Pro Bowls and stuff and he makes plays, but he's not a great cover linebacker. I never thought he was. Now, Quan, I think, does a better job, although this year it's just the ball's going everywhere, and you can't expect the linebackers to win games when the quarterbacks are throwing the ball 45 times a game. When the quarterbacks are throwing the ball 45, 50 times a game, boy, I tell you what, some of our defensive linemen better wake the hell up, other than Jason Pierre-Paul, because the rest of them are asleep. They're absolutely asleep. Now, Brad P., who I know has emailed me before, what are my thoughts on the offensive line so far this year? What do I think about Marpet's transition? Ali Marpet has moved from right guard to center to left guard. I thought he was a great right guard, then they moved him to center. I thought he struggled a little bit last year. Now they moved him to left guard. I haven't seen anything glaring. But then again, we can't run the football. So I'm not going to give any of the offensive linemen great grades if we can't run the football. That's essential. That's going to be essential for our success going forward. So as far as the offensive line goes and the grade, as pass blockers, they get a B plus maybe. But then you talk about as run blockers, it comes down and they get an F. And we're 31st ranked in rushing. So as a whole, yeah, I'll give them a C plus. And with a lot of room to improve. Dirk Koetter has to find a way. He has to find a way for the Bucs to limit Jameis's throws. Jameis is not Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's not, okay? I trust Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw the ball 45 times more than Jameis. Like down the way a few years from now, I might trust Jameis a little bit more. But right now, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I trust him more to make the good decisions. Jameis still has to prove that he makes good decisions. I saw Jameis making too many tackles last week. You know what I mean? And some of them aren't his fault. It doesn't matter, though. You come out, when your quarterback throws 2-3 picks, you normally lose the game. And especially when you're not running the ball effectively. And the Bucs haven't done that yet this year. So looking forward to this game on Sunday. I hate to say must win, because they're all must wins, it seems like. But this is sure one that will change the momentum of this season. Go 2-3 and lose 3 in a row. And, you know, especially Jameis has to figure out a way to look good. Because for Jameis' sake, you don't want to go to Atlanta and throw 4 picks and then have to come back and play Cleveland, who is hot right now, and with your fan base against you. Because I got some news for you. Pittsburgh travels well. Cleveland will travel well, too. Especially now with Baker Mayfield, and they got a new, you know, little kick to them, and they feel good about themselves. Cleveland fans they're surfacing. They've been asleep for a while, but they're surfacing. We need some of that, you know, energy like that. We've had it on and off, but it ain't there right now. You know, Fitzmagic is done. That era's done. We might see it again this year. I foresee us seeing Ryan Fitzpatrick start a game, another game this year, for whatever reason. I see that happening. And if that's the case, we're probably not going to the playoffs as Buccaneers, okay? And if that's the case, you might see the end of the Jameis Winston era. That's possible as well. Because right now, he's auditioning for the rest of his career. And that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure considering what Ryan Fitzpatrick did before when he got in there with the same group of people. So there's really no reason for Jameis not to be successful the rest of this year because he definitely has a whole lot of tools. Once again, if anybody wants to email me, IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. I got a bunch of other podcasts, Ian Beckles Show. We got Cannabis Podcast. And we talk about everything. We're not scared to talk much about anything. Flavor of Tampa Bay as well. And listen, I love to talk. I'm on the air every day at 102.5 The Bone. If you guys want to tune in bright and early, 5 a.m. Saturday from 1 to 3 with Ray Lampe and the lovely Taylor on Flavor of Tampa Bay, and the Ian Beckles Show on Sunday from 11 to 1. I appreciate you guys always listening in. Let's hope the Buccaneers figure out a way to get this done. All right? Hopefully we're talking Monday about Victory Monday. Everybody have a wonderful week and enjoy your football. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
When you are looking for the latest news and notes going on in the world of mixed martial arts, the MMA Report podcast is the place to come. News from the UFC, Bellator, World Series of Fighting, and so much more. And also, we'll have interviews with some of your favorite fighters. The MMA Report podcast can be found on RadioInfluence.com, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and SoundCloud.